KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington, it's the Northwest Now podcast. Each week, we take a closer look at the people and issues that affect all of us here in Western Washington. So sit back, relax, and join the conversation with your host, Tom Lason.
Washington State used to have one of the most robust public records acts in the nation, but now, with a whopping list of 650 exemptions and a legislature bent on exercising a self-granted right of privilege, the PRA is losing its teeth. Tonight, our annual program on public records, your right to government transparency, and the ongoing effort to severely limit that right. The Washington Coalition of Open Government is here discussing the latest legislation that threatens the PRA. Our Steve Kiggins with the story of activists using public records to hold the powerful accountable. And Seattle Times reporter Shauna Sowersby talking about her years-long effort to hold lawmakers accountable when it comes to public records. Your right to government transparency and public records is the discussion next on Northwest Now. The nation is in a righteous tizzy about the lack of transparency in Washington, D.C. Sadly, though, lawmakers and local governments in the Democratic stronghold that is Washington State are having a hold my beer moment when it comes to demonstrating the will to operate in secret. Their claim of privilege against the Public Records Act is ongoing and being litigated in court, with another list of bills proposed in the legislature designed to further weaken the PRA. One example was House Bill 1055 that had the potential to rewrite the PRA by reducing a requester's access to the courts. Meanwhile, some local governments and taxing authorities continue to frustrate requests and just shrug their shoulders and pay fines with taxpayer money when they lose in court. Tonight, here on the eve of Sunshine Week, when the obvious benefits of an open and transparent government are celebrated nationwide, we're doing our 13th annual program on this topic. Let's begin with Steve Kiggins and the story of local activists trying to use public records to really understand what happened during the civic unrest in the summer of 2020.
The timely production of public records is essential for a functioning democracy.
Glenn Stellmacher isn't just an architect, he's an eyewitness to historic protests in Seattle back in 2020. The experience forged his focus into a new title, investigative journalist.
Some of these stories have never been disclosed before.
Today his work is published on his website, Hard Pressed. He's got bylines at online news outlet Prism and has been locally published in Real Change. It all began when he submitted a public records request to Seattle Police Department seeking answers surrounding officers' use of force and chemical agents.
The questions just kept on coming. And fast forward 5 years later, and now I'm a freelance investigative reporter.
Public records played a large role in Stellmacher's report in Real Change covering SPD's use of aerial surveillance during 2020 protests. A portion of the report describes when the King County Sheriff's Office Air Support Unit assisted SPD apprehending someone accused of assaulting officers making an arrest. But Stellmacher questions the efficacy of SPD relying on aerial video in the case.
What is unclear is if this technology actually pinpointed the right individual. What we found was that the individual who was arrested was later released and not charged with any crime.
But access to public records isn't always as easy as requesting them. Stellmacher recently settled with the city of Seattle over access to text messages he says the department failed to disclose related to 2020 protests. The Seattle Times announced in January it's also suing SPD, alleging Public Records Act violations. For Stellmacher, digging for the truth about how Seattle polices the public will be revealed one public record at a time. But he says the truth should come out a lot faster.
We should not have to be waiting this long for answers to critical questions.
In Seattle, Steve Kiggins, Northwest Now.
Last year, I promised that the candidates would have to go on the record about their commitments to open government and the PRA, and they did.
When the legislature tried to hide behind a legislative privilege, I'm the attorney for the state. Normally, I have to represent the state no matter what they're going to do. In that case, I did not. The legislature hired their own counsel. We actually filed briefs in opposition to the state legislature, saying they needed to disclose those records and prevailed in that litigation.
I think there's real opportunity to be a larger resource for local agencies as well to ensure that the public has the records that they're entitled to, and also to make sure that the culture of practice at the AG's office is one of transparency.
So during the campaign, both Bob Ferguson and Nate Brown made some strong statements about abiding by or even strengthening the PRA. Will they, though? Let's ask the Washington Coalition for Open Government. First, though, in the interest of transparency, you should know that I am a member of the Washington Coalition for Open Government. Joining us now are WashCOG President Mike Fancher, board member and PRA attorney Joan Mell, and WashCOG Secretary George Erb. Mike, in the interest of transparency, you and I had a little email exchange prior to this program, and you mentioned that you're updating last year's PRA report that we did pretty extensive coverage of last year on this program, and that you feel, and I thought this was a really great word choice, what you felt at the time was an erosion of people's right to know now feels like a full-on assault. Talk a little bit about that and what some of the updates to that report are going to be.
Okay. Well, here's our report that we did a year ago, and it's available on our website at washcog.org. The update is basically asking ourselves, okay, what's changed since we wrote this report? The first finding in this report was that the public's right to know was eroding in Washington State. And what we will say in our update is that erosion is now feels more like an all-on assault, that there are a couple things that have been happening. We'll be talking about those, legislative privilege and auto deletion of records, that feel more like an active attempt to keep the public from knowing. And the first conclusion in this report was that the legislature hinders the public's right to records and access. And that hasn't changed. If anything, it's gotten worse, a little more aggressive. And as always, we see bills emerge that we think are bad bills, and we try to fight those off. But basically, things haven't gotten better, and they are getting worse, and that's not good.
Joan, in 2018, the state legislature attempted to codify legislative privilege. In 2019, the Supreme Court said, no, you are subject to the PRA. There is no such thing as legislative privilege. So why are we back here again with two lawsuits going, one with Arthur West? And Arthur, if you ever watch this program, I'd love to have you on. But with a public records advocate, Arthur West, and WashCOG, again with legislative privilege. Talk a little bit about what leverage legislative privilege is, what the legislature is asserting, and why are we still litigating this?
So legislative privilege is misapplied, in my opinion, but the legislature is saying, or at least certain leaders in the legislature are saying, that by constitutional protection, they need to conduct their business in secret. There is no public right to know how they formulate their policies, that apparently they think that without secrecy, they can't come up with policies that they can adopt, or they can't even do their legislating, which is interesting. I mean, there's other states that are far more transparent just in practice, even to include open caucuses, and they're passing bills all the time. So why are we back at it? Because the people in power want to keep secrets from the public, and they don't want the public to actually know how they're making sausage.
But why did the Supreme Court's ruling stick that the legislature is subject to the PRA?
Well, because the Supreme Court, in reviewing that last case, was looking at the PRA. And now they've said, oh, by the way, there's a constitution. And in the secret, nonverbal separation of power provisions of the constitution,
okay,
we have protections. We are above the laws that we pass to apply to the agencies who we expect to be transparent.
So they took a very narrow view of what was litigated and
correct,
say, no, there's still some stuff over here that allows us to do it.
Well, they said, oh, by the way, okay, we don't care about that. We're bigger and better and more authority to do what we want in secret.
Okay. Being probably the weirdo here in Western Washington when it comes to this issue and the elections in the last cycle, both Bob Ferguson and Nick Brown were questioned extensively on this program about their allegiance to PRA and transparency. Talk a little bit, George, about your impression of Nick Brown. Do you feel like this guy as somebody who supports transparency? You encouraged, discouraged? What's your gut say? And I know it's very early on, so I'm not writing this in stone.
My gut, I think our collective gut says, is that we're hopeful. New Attorney General Nick Brown, he was a member of the State Sunshine Committee for 5 years, left in 2017 when he left the governor's office. He was at the governor's office in 2013 when then Governor Jay Inslee said that he wasn't going to abide or use executive privilege right. to withhold documents above and beyond what statute says he can do. So we know that AG Brown is familiar with the Public Records Act. Plus, and this is probably the best signal we've had of all, is that he agreed to be the keynote speaker at WashCog's annual Sunshine Breakfast on March 14th. So that's a good sign that he's interested in communication. So we're sort of seeing this as turning the page. It's always an opportunity to establish a new working relationship with a new public official.
Good. Yeah. And I talked to him about adding an ombuds for a little extra staff. And, you know, he didn't want to commit to it, but he seemed open to the idea, which I thought was interesting, too. Joan, since we're talking about individuals, Bob Ferguson, you have not been shy in criticizing him in his approach to transparency and to public records in the past. Although he recently did agree to stop using Microsoft Teams and destroying years of records, that stopped. So that must give you a little bit of a warm feeling in your heart, no?
It does not give me any warm feeling in my heart because I've been litigating the question of whether or not there should be automated destruction of chats. And I don't like to litigate those issues. It seems like a no-brainer to me. So in advance of proceeding down the all-out litigation mode, I spoke with AG Ferguson's, assigned attorneys, and they put a whole team of attorneys on that case. And I said, look it, guys, the first conversation we need to have is just make it stop. What is the problem with just stopping? And then we can go from there. That's what this case is about. I don't want my attorney's fees. I don't want to litigate this forever. Just stop the problem. And they said, well, we'll need to go have those conversations. And they came back and they geared up and they ramped up and they started filing motions and motions and motions. So we've been at this expending public resources and the hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to a place where now Governor Ferguson realizes it's getting public attention and for his own image decides he's going to issue a proclamation that they won't be automatically destroyed. But it hasn't solved the problem because
they're gone.
Well, no, it's better than that. We'll stop the technology from deleting it automatically, but you please go ahead and make sure you're deleting individual users, your transitory communications. And oh, by the way, now remember, you're only supposed to be doing transitory communications. So that really the expectation is delete, 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 delete.
I had not seen that. So the system has been told to retain, but individuals have been told, hey,
get it out of there.
Get it out. No kidding.
No kidding.
Interesting. Well,
so your love and affection, my love and affection for the governor has not waned.
Okay. Mike, let's talk a little bit about some legislation. And I want to, you know, state from the outset, bills come and go. Some make it through some committee, some don't. We pre-record the show, so who knows what's happening. But I want to talk about some of the underlying principles proposed in legislation this year. One of them, House Bill 1056, looking at the Pennsylvania model and impeding a requester's access to the courts. Making Joan's job harder to get access to the court if a requester is being denied. Talk a little bit about what the threat is there.
Okay. Before I do that, though, I want to say that the coalition is independent and nonpartisan, and we fight with everybody who's doing anything to keep the public's access to government, so to close the access.
You're on the record there. Good.
Yeah. So okay. I think it's important to know that. And also, in terms of Ferguson's process, we would love to be involved in that. We've said we'd love to be actively involved in that because if they go off behind closed doors and take 6 months and come up with something new, then we'll have to sort it out all over again. So yeah. We'd like to see a more open process.
Why not be in the room?
Right.
Yeah.
1055 is a bill that purports to want to streamline the process of getting access to records. We think it becomes another hindrance standing between the public and the documents that they're entitled to have. It's just a study at this point, apparently a very costly study, and with the government that's behind the eight ball on finances, that's a problem. But We looked at the Pennsylvania process and talked to people there, journalists mostly there, and they looked at our process and said, well, what you have is actually better than what we have, so they're not recommending it. What the state is trying to do is prohibit what they would call vexatious requesters, or people who ask for lots of records, to put a barrier up to that. The problem is, there aren't very many people that they're targeting, but the effect would be very broad on the public's right to get the documents that are their documents.
And ultimately, the solution to that's very simple, right? Fulfill the request.
Yes, exactly. Maintain the records, organize the records, make the records available in a timely fashion. That's what the law expects. And actually, I'd really like to say the coalition has been reaching out to local governments, especially smaller governments, who feel a real burden from this, to try and understand the pain points that they feel and to try and come up with better solutions than closing off access. And we've gotten a really good reception to that. And so we're hoping that Nick Brown will help us in that process. And we're planning on this year being a year of real good outreach.
While I've got you, another one I want to hit you on, HB 1964, if you have 15 seconds on this, having to declare the use of records under penalty of perjury. In other words, I make a request and I got to promise I'm going to do something good with them.
That's this is the problem, is that the spirit of the law is the documents are public. And what you want to do with the documents is your business. Now, there are some limitations in terms of specific commercial use or misuse of records. But for the most part, we just don't think that there's any upside to asking, now, who are you and why do you want these records and what are you going to do with these records? That's not the spirit of this law.
Yeah, interesting. Another thing, and Joan, I'll let you talk about this. This isn't directly related to the PRA. I tend to take this transparency program, this open government program, really dial in on the PRA because it's an area that I care about very deeply. But this is a tangential one, and that is an effort to change the initiative process in the state of Washington that I think gets to transparency, gets to good governance. Have you taken a look at that at all, and what are your thoughts about that? And I notice George nodding too, so either one of you.
Well, I guess I would step back and say the whole idea of open government and transparency is fundamental. We have a constitutional right to know in Washington and provide informed consent. Article 1 of the Constitution said all political power rests with the people. And part of exercising your political power is having informed consent. I think that the idea that there's any kind of information that you should have to justify accessing is inconsistent with an answer to the question of, I just want to educate myself. I want to be able to exercise my informed consent. So the initiative process, if they're winnowing away the initiative process because they don't want the people to have an effect on the laws that they're saying they have to do in secret, we're out of the game. I mean, yeah. This has been predicted that you get one party control in all segments of government, and then the idea is that you take away the last standing authority of the people to speak. That's dangerous.
George, last word to you. Quick thought on the initiative process and how can people get involved if they want to?
Well, we don't like to see more obstacles put in place of the public. I mean, that's basically one of our core principles. So the idea of like putting more boxes to check or anything like that on the initiative process, we're very much in favor of direct democracy. And the whole principle that the political theory that we operate under is that the public, it's citizen-driven government, and the public oversees the government. But the public can't be effective overseers if they don't know what their government is up to.
Joining us now is Shauna Sowersby. Shauna has covered the Public Records Act and the Washington State Legislature for McClatchy, Cascade Public Media, and now the Seattle Times. Talk a little bit about why the interest in transparency in the PRA on your part.
It's a good question. It's kind of funny. Whenever I graduated college, I didn't really have a firm grasp on public records. I wasn't really quite sure how to do it. But I realized just kind of what you can find out of records. It's kind of fun to discover little nuggets of information in there. And, that has just transpired into realizing why public records are so important.
I hear my own naivete come out in this question I'm going to ask you. Are you surprised at all at how resistant lawmakers are to transparency in Washington? And how do you explain that? I keep trying to come up with an explanation, and I really can't. What's yours?
I maybe can give them, a little room here. I certainly understand that nobody likes having drafts of, for example, they say that, they need the legislative privilege for so they can draft bills without anybody kind of overlooking it. And to an extent, I can certainly understand that. I don't like people looking at my work before it's finished or edited either. But yeah, they've certainly have a track history of being resistant to the Public Records Act. And, they're just getting more clever in ways of hiding their records from people.
I always felt that if I were to be a lawmaker, radical transparency to me would be an out for that, though. I could say, I'm showing you my work. Here's the process I went to. Here's who I talked to. I thought, yeah, maybe not. Let's try this. I feel that's very defensible.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. The Department of Youth and Family Services, Washington State Patrol, so many agencies failing so badly, spending so much money in court and fines. What's your explanation? How did the PRA get so badly broken? The law's been there. How did it get so fractured?
I think a lot of it, personally, just since I've been looking into this Teams issue for the last year and a half, there's just so many avenues now that agencies, lawmakers, people in power can take to hide things. Instant messages being, the bane of my existence now. There's so many platforms that you can use, and people don't even know that these are being used by these individuals.
Talk a little bit about Microsoft Teams. There was a lot of chitter chatter going on between state government agencies, lobbyists, who knows who. We'll never know because those records are gone. You called them this out on this a couple of years ago.
Correct.
They called you a genius for for pointing it out. Well, turns out, guess what? You were a genius. What has been the result of that? How do you see that going? Are all the problems fixed?
Oh, absolutely not. I think that we are just, hitting the tip of the iceberg on this. We now know that thousands of public records, probably hundreds of thousands of public records over the course of the last several years are gone forever. They can never be found. This is affecting real people, real cases. In fact, I just got another email from another attorney in a DOC case, Department of Corrections, who said that they are having difficulty getting Teams messages, which greatly affects their case. Now the issue is, even though Ferguson has pulled back and said we're not going with an automatic automatic deletion policy, people still can delete those messages individually, and that's what we're already hearing is happening. If you look at any Reddit, Washington State Worker subreddit, it's mentioned in there. Facebook, people have been mentioning that there is no clear directive on how they should be deleting things, and people are just deleting things.
So we are still, despite that proclamation, we are still creating records and deleting records.
Correct, yes.
What is the potential forward-looking liability on this? They just paid a fine of $225,000, but we could be talking, for years of records, and if they can't prove, I guess who does the burden of proof fall on ultimately? If they can't provide a statutorily required record, I guess it's the state and the taxpayers, as usual, that continue to be on the hook, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of alluded to this in the article I wrote, but I think that this is just going to set a precedent. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of this. This is really serious stuff. DCYF, that affects children. Department of Corrections, that affects incarcerated individuals. It affects their civil rights. This is a massive issue.
And if the records aren't there for plaintiffs and their representatives to determine what happened, you get into a he said, she said kind of thing. But at the end of the day, those records were supposed to be retained.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So there's a lot of exposure there, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yep.
What are your thoughts generally on Nick Brown and Bob Ferguson? Both talked about the PRA here in the run-up to the election. I talked to them both about that issue. They both will tell you they support it. All in favor of a transparent government. Buy it?
I think with Ferguson particularly, there is a history there. You know, there have been a couple of different lawsuits for withholding information where the Attorney General's office under his control was sued. You know, there one case was over $13 million that taxpayers had to pay out. So I don't know. I think that his step forward in ending this team's automatic deletion is a step, but I don't know if I'm convinced yet. And as far as Nick Brown goes, I can't say, you know, he's kind of a newcomer for me. And so I guess, you know, maybe I should start filing some records requests at the Attorney General's office.
Test drive that a little bit.
See how much is,
Tangential issue here, and that has to do with press requests going through the governor's office before they're approved. It's not necessarily a violation of the law, but it talks about the general mood of transparency. I've always appreciated being able to go directly to subject matter experts. I've done a lot of things on salmon recovery, and I love being able to go right to the subject matter experts and value that.
Yeah.
Not so under the Ferguson administration. Talk a little bit about what the policy is and how you think that affects things like transparency and open government.
So basically, the Times, we got forwarded a directive from Ferguson's communications office that says any press releases with state agencies have to go through the governor's office first. I already experienced the downfall of that policy firsthand. I contacted DCYF last week for a comment on, or I guess the week before last, on the settlement, and by Monday, Ferguson's office had released, this new directive. And so it is frustrating. I feel like it's taking a little bit longer to get responses from agencies, especially, I emailed a few agencies last week. It took several days to get any kind of response out of them. That hurts us when we're on deadlines and, isn't great for transparency if everything is, it has to run through a certain network first.
And is the person with the PhD who's the subject matter expert in that actually answering the question?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Shauna, thanks so much for coming to Northwest Now, and keep up the good work on the PRA and transparent government in Washington State.
Thank you.
There are a lot of media outlets and individuals fighting for your right to know. The bottom line, until you, the public, get involved and really start putting pressure on your lawmakers of both parties to uphold and respect the provisions of the State Public Records Act, lawmakers and government officials will continue to take advantage of sunsetting media influence and fragmented public attention to erode your rights. Google Sunshine Week and the Washington Coalition for Open Government and get involved.